Another day, another mass murder last week in a small town in Kansas. A gunman killed three, wounded 14. Was it three or four? I thought it was four, and then I read three this morning. So killed three, wounded 14. Before a properly arrived hero in the name of the town's police chief could arrive, let's join John Lott Jr., the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John, good morning. Welcome to Nashville Morning News.
Great to talk to you again, Ralph.
Another textbook case of how no law, no matter how strict, could have stopped this.
Right. Well, I mean, I think part of the problem is the types of laws that we have, they encourage these types of attacks. You know, if you go and you ban guns from areas, I understand the desire to go and do it, but it's the law-abiding good citizens who obey the laws, not the person who's intent on doing the attack, and that rather than making places safer, it actually encourages, creates a magnet for these types of attacks to occur.
And of course, this guy knew it because he worked there, and he
right.
and he knew. And I don't know this for sure, but I have read a couple of different stories that said that this was the place that did it banned its own employees from carrying guns, even if they were law enforced or law, you know, law abiding citizens with licenses to do so. They were now didn't allow guns on the property. Do you know that to be true, or was that?
Yeah, no, that's correct. But, you know, there's so many cases that we have where these types of killers explicitly talk about why they choose the targets that they do, and they take into account whether or not other people are going to be able to defend themselves. There's just a case just a couple weeks ago in Detroit, Michigan, where a father was suspicious of his son being an ISIS sympathizer
mm-hmm.
and was worried that he may go and do something. And so he went and told the FBI about it, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And the FBI put a wiretap on him and found out that he had been planning to go after one of the biggest churches in Detroit. And when you know, the chilling details that are on the wiretap there, he talks about, he says, explaining why he's going after that. He says, it's easy. A lot of people go there. Plus, people there are not allowed to carry guns in church. I mean, who wants to have a gun in church? I don't want to have a gun in church, but just the fact that there may have been people there who might have been able to go and defend themselves would have crossed this place off the individual's list that's there. I mean, you look at the attacks last year, whether it be the Charleston church shooting or when the diary was released last summer from the Batman movie theater shooter. Here we have killers that explicitly talk about the same type of reasoning, you know, picking targets where they know that victims aren't going to be able to go and defend themselves.
Hillary Clinton last week, she got her Constitution and her Declaration of Independence mixed
right.
up for one thing, saying that the Constitution guarantees life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Actually, that's something guaranteed by a higher authority than the Constitution, the only higher authority than the Constitution. But her reasoning beyond that was just as flawed. She said, therefore, because you have the guaranteed right to the pursuit of happiness, and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then people shouldn't be allowed to carry guns. I mean, I frankly, in my talk that I do, I say exactly the opposite thing. It is
right.
part of our, because we do have a God-given, inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the founders were smart enough to put the Second Amendment in the Constitution so we would have a right to protect that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And the only way to protect that from the bad guys is, unfortunately, with a gun or with more than one gun. So the logic in some of these arguments is so upside down, I don't know how we're ever going to turn it right side up.
Right. Well, you know, unfortunately, have four members of the U.S. Supreme Court who agree with her logic to some extent. They four members do not believe that there is an individual right to self-defense, let alone individual right to self-defense with a gun. I mean, right now you have four members who believe you do have an individual right to self-defense. With the death of Scalia, Antonin Scalia. It's 4-4 tie that's there. So it just emphasizes how important it is whether Hillary Clinton wins the election this year or not.
Do you believe the next Supreme Court appointee, if it's by Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or anybody that would appoint a Ginsburg type of justice to the court, is the Second Amendment in significant danger, do you think?
Oh, I have no doubt about it. I think you have cities all the time that would be willing to go and pass a gun ban, and that would then be able to go back up to the Supreme Court, and you have four justices basically on record in the McDonald decision saying that they would overturn the original D.C. Heller decision, which
is fair,
was
still
struck down a complete ban on guns.
And that's a pretty recent decision. That's why I asked. Courts do respect stare decisis for, at least to some degree. You don't think that would stop them, since this is such a recent court decision, they would almost immediately overturn it the first chance they got?
Right. Well, I mean, they're already on record in their dissent saying that they would overturn those precedents if they were given a chance. Yeah. So I don't think there's much question there.
Makes this election even more important. John, thank you, as always. Okay. We'll talk again soon. Take care. Appreciate it. John
Lott
Jr. At crimeresearch.org, if you want to check out all of his research, writings, and everything else, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org.